Conservative Theological University has about 6,000 titles and about 120,000 volumes available. Shop today at conservative.edu. Scroll down to Bookstore, browse, and place your order today. That's conservative.edu and scroll to Bookstore. Thanks for tuning in to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Since 2015, Dr. Youngblood has taken scores of questions and comments on the challenging issues of the day, with the goal of motivating and informing listeners to examine the issues from a central biblicist worldview. Currently, this broadcast is heard on three regional stations in Florida and Georgia. Dr. Youngblood's expository preaching is also heard on these three stations in Jacksonville, Florida, St. Augustine, Florida, and Brunswick, Georgia. Now there's a great opportunity to expand this vital ministry to other cities. Your help is needed to accomplish this mission. Your support in any amount is crucial to take the next step in sharing God's truth in a relevant, lively, and timely way. Thanks for your willingness to support this broadcast as we prepare to face the issues on a broader scale. Please go to fcbcatjax.com or to send your best gift to First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, 32258, Attention Radio. Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood is brought to you by First Conservative Baptist Church. Now let's get back to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about a subject today, an issue today that I believe should be integral and a part of our lives as moms and dads and grandparents when we think about the educational process for our kids. We didn't have a U.S. Department of Education in 1973 under the presidency of Jimmy Carter. And we have witnessed the depletion of academics since then. And yet somehow, some way, there are many parents today that feel that, oh, if you shut down the U.S. Department of Education, my kid won't have an education. My child won't be able to go to public school. My child won't be able to read, write, or get a job, et cetera, et cetera. What did we do before 1973? Did we have good kids or bad? Did we have a proper education or improper? Did we have those that were absolute geniuses academically, or were all of them just simply dummies? Ladies and gentlemen, what does the U.S. Department of Education provide for us? Listen, I'm asking a question. I'm going to give us some thoughts in relationship to that. What does the U.S. Department of Education do? It provides our school-age children with the those that can graduate without being able to read, write, or spell. I'll read you several articles in a moment about that. You realize we're graduating students from high school that cannot read or write, cannot count change. By the way, not too long ago, I was in a place of business, and the individual I gave, the bill was going to be like $11.80, so I gave the kid a $20 bill and 80 cents. And he looked at it, looked at the cash register, and he handed me the 80 cents back. He said, well, don't need that. There's enough in the $20. I said, wait. It's $11.80. Just take the 11 out of this $20 bill, and here's the 80 cents. He had to go get a manager to show him how to calculate change and what kind of change to give back to me. That's the deplorable condition we're in academically in America, and it's in direct response to and related to the U.S. Department of Education. American education spends more per student today than any other nation on the face of the globe, and yet we have the lowest academic scores of any other institutions or any other nations around the globe. American educational students rate near the very lowest academically in academic ability. Our children, ladies and gentlemen, in the public school systems today, under the guise and auspices, the direction, and the control of the Teachers Union, the U.S. Department of Education, our students today are being taught. Listen, our students today in the classrooms, academics from kindergarten and up, and I realize in the state of Florida there's some restrictions that have changed some of this, but on a national level, it's still true. The classrooms teaching our kids, brainwashing them to be anti-God, anti-American, and somehow a system in their mind that they don't have to listen to mom and dad. And it's being taught in our classrooms. It's being promulgated and pushed. They're pushing the LGBTQI plus. The classrooms are teaching the kids DEI, diversity, and other factors of the CRT and other things that are just simply antithetical to Christian and for Christian parents and what we should want. Ladies and gentlemen, the DEI ought not to be taught in the classroom. The LGBTQ sodomite agenda ought not to be in the classroom. Our kids are being taught transgenderism. Even some of the kids today, the parents were shocked for you to call Trump's speech at the joint session of Congress when he pointed out a mother that was in the gallery that had a daughter that was transitioned through the school system without her knowledge and or approval of it being done. So that's part of the benefit of the U.S. Department of Education. The U.S. Department of Education, through Title IX, it is called, allows males to go into females' locker rooms, shower rooms, bathrooms, and dressing rooms, and allows males to compete against females in female sports. That's a result of the U.S. Department of Education, ladies and gentlemen, what's being done in our classrooms. Our classrooms are allowing our students to believe that somehow, some way, they may be some gender other than heterosexual. Recently, I touched on it on one of the broadcasts about a school that had a questionnaire for the kids, 16 questions, about when did you realize that you were heterosexual? When did you realize that that's the way you believe, and who could have taught you that, and do you really believe that that's where you are, and is it possible that you're really not heterosexual? A major, major, major slap in the face of straight boys and girls, as it's called, in the classroom setting today. We're talking about, ladies and gentlemen, briefly, we're giving a little bubble overview of what is beneficial for the U.S. Department of Education, what the U.S. Department of Education is providing for our kids in the public school system. And the question to you, moms, dads, grandparents, is this what you want? Do you want the U.S. Department of Education to continue? Would you like to see it closed? I'd love to hear from you. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. It's right now in the position that it could go either way. President Trump is wanting to close it. President Trump sees the danger and the damage and the harm that it's doing to our kids. Cannot read, cannot write, cannot count change, do not know anything about basic science. Ladies and gentlemen, the U.S. Department of Education training our kids to embrace immoral, ungodly, unethical, unbiblical wokeism in our schools. Our children are being taught to hate Israel and to hate America. This is the reason you find in part of the educational system, Columbia University, for example, which is a law school, supposed to be a prestigious university, that's allowing the anti-American, anti-Israel takeover of the school system. One thing that just happened, President Trump just gave orders to withdraw, to withhold $400 million of benefits, dollars and cents, to the Columbia University as a result of what they're doing and not controlling their campuses. That's not just an isolated event. That's not just an isolated school. That's taking place across the nation with all of the so-called prestigious universities, and it's all coming through the U.S. Department of Education. Ladies and gentlemen, with the plummeting of academics, you also find in our kids today coming out of school, coming out of high school, graduating from high school, the lack of morals, lack of ethics, the lack of values, because the Bible is not allowed in the classroom, because the pledge to the flag is not allowed in the classroom, because reading of the scripture is not allowed in the classroom, prayer is not allowed in our classrooms. And all of that is as a result of the rules, the regulations, the guidelines out of the U.S. Department of Education that ties the hands of the teachers. Yes, we've still got some good teachers in our classrooms in the public schools. Their hands are tied with what they can teach and what they cannot teach, and the curriculum, the academic material that they are given, and what they must do, or the school would lose its grants, or the school would lose its funding from the state, and the state would cut it off because they're being cut off by the feds. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm looking at a headline, Elon Musk given warning over Doge cuts for education. The article reads this way. It followed separate announcement the same day Doge that it had ended 29 DEI training grants. Listen, eliminated 29 diversity, equity, and inclusion training grants worth $101 million. And this article goes on to explain DEI stands for diversity, equity, and inclusion and is a label for enforcement of targeted, marginalized, underprivileged groups. What they're saying is it is where taxpayers are paying for the immoral, ungodly, unholy mindset, morally and ethically, sexually speaking, in our classrooms, promulgating and pushing that aspect of it through federal tax dollars coming out of the U.S. Department of Education. This article goes on to say, when not wasting money on bureaucracy, the Department of Education has been funding anti-American gender nonsense and anti-mediocrity racism, Musk wrote in the post on social media just last week. The article further says, this is where some are now all upset. The Brookings Institute is all upset, saying it threatens the high quality of teaching. Listen to what the Brookings Institute says. These extreme cuts to the educational budget will have a devastating impact on both teachers and students, directly hindering the resources and support necessary for effective learning. Ladies and gentlemen, the overwhelming majority of the federal tax dollars going into the U.S. Department of Education never hit the classroom, never goes into the process of training sons and daughters in the classroom. This is the reason teachers are paying out of pocket for some of the elementary materials that's needed for their teaching. This goes on to say, eliminating programs designed to elevate the quality of education will set back efforts to improve the teaching profession and student outcomes. No, it won't. They're going to say this includes funding cuts for the initiative led by the National Board of Professional Teacher Standards, which has been dedicated to advancing and accomplishing a better teaching since 87. Goes on to say, vital education supports are threatened. I could go on and on and on, ladies and gentlemen, of what others are saying in relationship to it. Do you believe? This is the question for you to respond to, 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. If the U.S. Department of Education is shut down, do you believe it will benefit the academic process, or will it be a deterrent and a detriment to the academic process? Will our sons and daughters be able to read better, to write better, and to be able to do better math if they're in the public institutions that's run by the U.S. Department of Education, or are they better off? I'll read a headline again. U.S. Department of Education spending skyrocketed 749% in 4 years. The Department of Education had 4,930 employees and spent $33 billion in 2000. In 2024, it had only 4,245 employees but spent $250.73 billion. Last year, only 6% of the fourth graders, 67% of the eighth graders scored at least the basics in reading skills on the National Assessment Educational Progress Standardized Test. And it goes on to say in math, 77% of the fourth graders, only 61% of the eighth graders scored at least what is called basic level education. Ladies and gentlemen, we have a situation today where our Department of Education is not carrying out the task that it was supposed to do with the federal tax dollars. I'm looking at a headline that I think indicates what I'm trying to say better than anything else could. Headline: she graduated from high school with honors but can't read or write. She's now suing the education department. A 19-year-old girl said had dreams of one day writing stories and maybe even writing a book. That may sound like a reasonable aspiration for a teenager recently out of high school. But despite graduating last June from Hartford Public High School in Hartford, Connecticut, and earning a scholarship to college, this young lady is illiterate. She says she cannot read and she cannot write. Many high school seniors feel proud and excited in the days of graduation. But this young lady says she was saddened. She graduated with honors. Now listen, here's a young lady that's 19 years old, cannot read and cannot write. How did she graduate with honors? I'm reading the article. She graduated with honors, which usually means a student has demonstrated academic excellence. But after 12 years of attending public schools in Hartford. She testified in May 2024, before the city council meeting, that she could not read and could not write. Suddenly, she says, the school officials now become concerned after they're aware of awarding my diploma and showing that I was graduating with honors. The young lady is now suing Hartford Board of Education and the city of Hartford for neglect as well as not meeting her educational needs, as she has not been able to read or write. Another headline about the same student. Student says she is illiterate despite graduating with honors. She sues the Connecticut School District. Despite graduating from the Hartford High School in June with honors and getting scholarship to the University of Connecticut, she is claiming she cannot read or write. The 19-year-old, who spent 12 years in Hartford Public Schools, testified in May before the city council explaining her unique situation and how educational system failed her. Ladies and gentlemen, listen very carefully. Let me digress from that focus and simply say, who is it that is responsible for the education of your child? Is it the public school system? Is it that little red, yellow school bus that picks those kids up each morning? Or is it mom's and dad's responsibility? The scripture is very, very clear. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he will not have departed from it. That train up a child the way, that word way in the Hebrew text means the bent, the leaning, the direction that he should go. Not the direction that he wants to go, but the way that he should go. And the scripture says, when he's old, he will not depart from it. And the literal translation from the Hebrew text, train up a child the way that he should go, not the way he wants to go. And when he shall have become old, he will not have departed from it. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, God holds moms and dads responsible for the training of the sons and daughters. It goes back to what is called the Shema in the Old Testament in Deuteronomy, the 6th chapter. God gives the instructions. Thou shalt love the Lord God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. Ladies and gentlemen, it is a constant, deliberate teaching, and it's the responsibility of moms and dads. Well, you say, well, you know, if I teach my child, he'll be dumb like I am. That could be so. Don't know. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm of the opinion, based on less than 100 years of recognition and knowledge and experience in that realm, I'm of the opinion that a mom or dad can do more in 2 hours a day sitting around the breakfast room table and teaching academics than a classroom of the public educational system as it is today can provide in an eight-hour day. How many times does your child come home with a book bag full of books and assignments that you've got to sit up with them a half the night to go through what the teacher should have gone through with them in the classroom, trying to get them to be coached and to learn? Ladies and gentlemen, that ought not to be. Should be a classroom setting, should be taught in the classroom. It is a responsibility, as the scripture says, to train up a child the way it should go. It is the mom's and dad's responsibility, but somehow, some way down through the years, we have shirked the responsibility. We have given the responsibility over government rather than God. Why do you think we have children today that's growing up, going through grammar school, grade school, high school, graduating, going into college? They laugh at God. They mock at God. They drop out of church. They do not want to read the scripture, do not want to hear anything, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Anything that's moral, ethical, biblical, and valuable, they have cast aside, and it's because of the brainwashing and the weaponization of the mind of the child in the classroom that's bringing this about in America today. These little Nazis that you see in the Columbia College, Columbia University, and other prestigious universities that's marching and demanding that Israel be dumped into the sea, that is, that all of Israelites, all of the Jewish people be murdered. Why do you think that is so? Where did they get that training? Where did they get that mindset? Out of the classrooms, kindergarten through high school, then on into the college level, all paid for by the U.S. taxpayer dollars and the U.S. Department of Education. I am concerned, ladies and gentlemen, that so many parents think that somehow, some way, we've got to keep on like we've been doing in relationship to the training of our sons and daughters. Another headline about the same thing, but another headline. Former student sues the high school for letting her graduate while she's yet illiterate. And it goes on to talk about a 19-year-old Connecticut woman has filed a lawsuit against the Hartford Public Schools, accusing them of failing to provide her with a proper education despite allowing her to graduate with honors. And it goes on to state it this way. Despite her inability to read or write at any level, she earned an honors status and even secured a college scholarship. She was accepted in the University of Connecticut. Ladies and gentlemen, how is that possible? It is possible because the weak, anemic U.S. Department of Education that has nothing to do with training your sons and daughters, our grandkids, in any realm of academics. Ladies and gentlemen, perhaps you say, what should I do? How should I respond? Ladies and gentlemen, I'm thankful that in the state of Florida, we have homeschooling, we have Christian schooling, we have charter schools that can be utilized. In fact, we have the voucher system that in that voucher, you can a parent can take that voucher and take it to any school system you want to, including homeschooling. That's my opinion, ladies and gentlemen, that moms and dads, grandparents in America, need to take a stand and say, no more will you. I allow you to waste my child's years of a drab, non-academic process that they graduate with a degree, with a credential that's worthless in the workaday world. Ladies and gentlemen, there's all kind of educational processes that's available in the state of Florida. As I said, we have the homeschooling, Christian schools, the charter schools, the voucher school system. We need to put prayer back in the classrooms. You say, well, how do we resolve this? We put prayer back into classrooms. We'll have the teachers to stand. Listen, I realize I'm less than 100 years old, but I can recall back in my early days in academics in school, we would have prayer every morning before academics started. We would have prayer requests that the teacher would talk about and pray with the students. We had a pledge to the flag each morning before we get into any academics. In fact, the teacher would assign scripture memory for the next day for the students to memorize and quote in the classroom. We didn't have the problems then that we have today with immoral, ungodly, unholy, transgenderism, the LGBTQI+ sodomite agenda, murder by way of abortion being promulgated, pushed, and embraced in the classroom. We didn't have the problem with teachers and teachers' counselors and the operation within the classroom of quietness and not exposing the truth to the families, where a teacher and a school counselor can start the transition process of your young lad to a woman or a girl, or your young daughter to be transitioned to a male in some fashion. By the way, that's almost an oxymoron of just making the statement. There's no such thing. But it's destroying the child's life, and yet there's no academics in it. Listen, we are paying more per student for academics in America than any other nation, hear me, any other nation on the face of the globe, and yet our academic scores are being reduced each and every year, every 12 months. Right now we have students that are graduating from high school that cannot read and write. Right now we have students that are graduating from high school that do not know academics beyond about the third or fourth grade level, but are graduating from high school. So ladies and gentlemen, before the Carter administration established the U.S. Department of Education, we had high scores in math and English, the academics and sciences. And listen, America today, students could read back then, could understand math back then, before the U.S. Department of Education. So why do we want to go back to allowing the U.S. Department of Education to make the final decisions over the academics for us? It goes back to the fact, ladies and gentlemen, that we as moms and dads, grandparents, those that are responsible for that child's future and education, we have the responsibility of saying, no, enough is enough. We need to encourage President Trump to, yes, shut down the Department of Education. He's going through the process of dismantling it part by part to ultimately get Congress in to make the final decision to shut it down. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe it's time that we stop the academic destruction in the classroom for our children. I believe it's time that we say no to the transgenderism that's taught in the classroom. I believe it's time that parents stand up and say no on a local, state, and national level. And it starts, ladies and gentlemen, with we the parents, moms and dads, grandparents, of saying we want better for our sons and daughters than what we're finding. Looking at headline again, DOGE announces it is slashing $881 million from the Department of Education. I believe I have Harper Davis on the phone. Go ahead with your question or comment, please.
Brother Davis, Brother Youngblood, I'm sorry.
I'm
amazed. I've been listening to this whole broadcast, and it's amazing how silent it is. When you speak the truth, sometimes you have to speak it alone. Keep speaking the truth, and you're not alone. There's others that's with you. But it's so silent today. Where is all the callers? Are they not listening? What's going on? I believe it's demonic influence throughout the world. This is a serious thing. I think we ought to disband that school educational system that they have there and put it back into the hands of the parents and the community in which they live in.
Absolutely. Go back to the, if you want to even go back further, some of our founding fathers, they had the equivalent of what we would call today. They didn't have going through the 12th grade. They had like going through the 5th or the 6th grade, but they could go through the 5th or 6th grade, go immediately into college, at colleges and universities. They were well trained in the biblical languages, Hebrew, Greek, and Latin, et cetera, et cetera. We had those that was the, I believe it was John Jay, the first U.S. Supreme Court justice, that I believe at 21, he was U.S. Supreme Court Justice. He never set foot in a public classroom. It was the homeschooling system that was utilized. If you go back to those that are founding fathers, with the genius minds that they had, they didn't have any such thing as a public school. They didn't have any such thing as a U.S. Department of Education. It was not funded by taxpayers' monies. It was funded by the local parents that wanted to set up educational system. I call it the little red schoolhouse building, where their sons and their daughters were taught by parents that had academic qualifications and abilities to do so. So you're exactly right. And unless there is something other than silence, where there is their parents, moms and dads and grandparents that's willing to take a stand, we'll continue to find the slaughter and the destruction of the minds and the hearts of our sons and daughters. So I'm thankful for what Trump is doing, and I pray that God will continue to use him to absolutely shut down U.S. Department of Education and other major sources of fraud, abuse, and waste in our nation. But thank you so much for your call. You're exactly right, and a good observation. Thank you so much for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we're delighted that you joined us today. Even though many, as our last caller placed it, were silent, I pray that it's been has an effect on your heart and your mind, and that you'll take a stand for truth and go along with what President Trump is doing with the U.S. Department of Education. Thank you for joining us. Look forward to meeting you next time on the air as once again we face the issues.
You have been listening to Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, Florida, located 1 mile south of I-295. FCBC invites you to tune in nightly, 9 to 10, for expository preaching on 91.3, 91.7, and 91.9 FM. You're invited to worship with First Conservative Baptist Church. A reminder, CTU is now enrolling students for next semester. Ask about first semester scholarships. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE. Tune in tonight at 11 for a replay of today's Let's Face the Issues broadcast on WBOB AM 600 and 101.1 FM.
Welcome to today's